Well, we're glad you're here listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 10th, 2012, and those of you that were tuned in yesterday, hopefully you're delighted in my conversation with my good friend, my close friend, Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason Schiffo. He's the senior pastor at the Evangelical Community Free Church in Mahomet, and if you've been tuned in for a number of months, he's been co-hosting the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and God just kind of raised him up through various circumstances, brought him to our area, because there was a time where they asked Great News Radio to come in and share about the ministry. We were their monthly. They support the radio ministry on a monthly basis, and it was our month, so I presented, and the congregation says, hey, you need to meet our new pastor. And once I learned he was a former Jewel food store manager, I said, oh, we got to get that testimony on the air. He came in some months ago, and we talked a little about how God brought him to this area and his Jewel food store experience. And I said, gosh, I like this guy. By the end of the program, I was already formulating in my mind. I hadn't prayed it all through, but I said, Jason, I haven't prayed this through, but might you entertain the idea of maybe co-hosting a morning program with me periodically? It would take some of the pressure off of me always getting different guests each and every day, and, you know, with my workload and stuff, it would just kind of ease my burden. And he said, yeah, let me pray about it. Let me talk to my congregation, my deacons and elders, and let me run it by my wife, Tasha, and so forth. And it wasn't really that hard of a decision because you said, you know, it's not a big time commitment. And so anyways, yesterday was one of those classical times where we came in, talked about 15 different items, and then we said, well, it's time to start recording the program. And there was still a lot left untalked about or unattended to. And I definitely want to raise up that new sense of urgency you have in light of kind of a heart-wrenching situation and your eagerness. You've been studying about the eagerness. So maybe today's program will be entitled Urgency and Eagerness. But I know you want to talk about some Leviticus and maybe some things on Philippians. So
you only have like 20 minutes. Look at you. You've already given them weeks worth of, worth of material. I want to start, though. I don't know if you heard it because I think maybe it was early in the service. I shared it on Sunday morning. I'm not sure when I shared it, but this is a true story. So those of you who are going to go like, it's true, trust me. I went last week to the gas station. It's right over there on Prospect. It's right after you get off on that Champaign, you get off that ramp there. And so I'm guessing like a lot of people who maybe are traveling through Champaign, that's one of the places they stop to get gas. It's right there. There's a big sign that says get off and get gas here. So I was getting off and getting gas because I was going to meet a pastor friend of mine at the Dunkin' Donuts right there that's nearby. So I get out and I'm getting gas, and there's like a pickup truck next to me in the next pump over to my left. And this guy opens up, so he wasn't from around here, I don't think, because he had a dog with him, and he let the dog out of the car, and we generally don't do that if we're not from around here. So you do, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm like, what do you mean? I do that all the time.
So he let the dog out, but he you know, like, here, Lord. And it caught my ears because I'm going, the dog's name is Lord? And then I look over, and he looks at me, and I go, German Shepherd? And he goes, yeah. And I go, the Lord is my shepherd.
Oh, I wouldn't have caught that one. That's a good one.
And I go, you have got to be kidding me. You know, and then we had a little bit of a conversation, and he's a believer, and he loves the Lord, and he said he thought it was just a funny little witty kind of way of doing it. Because at first I was like, name the dog Lord? I mean, that's awkward.
Hey, I got a tangent story.
Oh, no, here we go.
I had friends growing up and their family. Actually, when I had an apartment when I was 17, they owned the apartment buildings, and I used to clean apartments, you know, steam clean carpeting, paint walls, clean refrigerators, you know, all the things you do to clean apartments. Anyways, when I graduated early in high school, I moved into an apartment. I was 17 years old and had this great apartment. But the family, when they'd go on vacation, they had me oftentimes look after their dogs. I was very close to the family and knew all their dogs. Well, they had one dog, and this family was not a church family. I don't believe they loved the Lord, but one of their dogs, it was a black, all black, and they called him Satan. And I mean, it was, and they had.
I could see if you named the cat that.
No, this was a big. I can't remember the mix. It was a big, like 100-pound dog, and they also had a derogatory name that I would not share over the air. But they called them Satan. Well, one Sunday, as I went to visit this dog, and it could sometimes jump over the fence, it got out, and it's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm going around the neighborhood yelling, "Satan, Satan!" Can you imagine that? So, anyways.
Isn't there a joke like that where God brings the animals to Adam to be named? And so he brings them like the first animal and he goes, you know, and Adam looks at the animal and he goes, rhinoceros. And God kind of looks at him and goes, okay, I mean, I gave you the job, all right. You know, he brings another one up, and he's like, platypus. You know, and God's like, okay, you know, I mean, I created you out of dust. I guess this is what I get. You know, and so he keeps bringing the animals up there, and he brings up this furry animal, and Adam goes, dog. And God goes, oh, yeah, that's my name backwards. That's great. And then all of a sudden, here comes a cat, and Adam goes, cat. And God looks down, and he goes, hey, I didn't create that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I may not like cats that much.
Hey, I got two cats, and you're going to have Mr. Deacon and Penny in here scratching at you if you keep this up.
Hey, well, see, that's your first problem. You're on a Deacon model.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's take that out.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I forgot to mention this yesterday, but I'm going to post this on our website, greatnewsradio.org. Jacob did a little rendering of Jesus overcoming the cross. Yeah, victory. It's kind of, I should like pencil in victory where Jesus is holding up the cross, holding it up on high. So that'll be posted at our website, greatnewsradio.org, right there on the homepage. And in fact, Jacob was featured, I guess a couple weeks ago, we had him in the studio sharing a little of his life, and it was fun having him in and having your family in mm-hmm. the past with Tasha and Abigail and Molly. So the Schiffo family, it's great to have you 2 days in a row. Joey Kroll gets the day off, but he's going to help you enter into the weekend. He'll be on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. So if you were expecting to hear Joey Kroll today, he will give his devotional thoughts and his insights and his cheery good attitude to share tomorrow on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. But having Jason in the area again and having him available, I said, hey, come back and do the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends with me, and we can talk about eagerness or the urgency or tell some corny jokes.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know how that all works. Yeah, you know, I mean, we had this last week was just a real tough week in terms of just pastorally. I mean, I know for anybody in their life, but for me just as a pastor, and I think I shared maybe not this past week, but the week before during the sermon that I love with all my heart, soul, and might counseling people. I love journeying with people. I love doing that. But part of what makes me love that is the fact that I can't just counsel you and, like, you know, remove myself from it. I mean, like, anybody who comes and sits in my office for counseling, I mean, we're crying together. I mean, I cry with them. I mean, I weep, you know, fairly easily. So I go on the journey with people. So when I get a tough phone call, I mean, it might as well have been in my own life that it's happening in terms of my own family, because I consider my church family, and Tasha, we've been discussing this last night, we consider our church family to be our first family. I mean, we know that these people who are following Jesus with us together, they're going to be in heaven with us. So, you know, there are members of my biological family who will not be in heaven because they just can't seem to get over their hard-heartedness and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But there are people in the church that I will be with for eternity, our first family. So when somebody in my first family calls and they just are going through some stuff, I mean, we our heart breaks. Somebody called me on late Tuesday night to let me know that their nephew had taken his life, tragically had taken his life. And it was a reminder for me of the urgency of the gospel. It was a reminder for me that this next step that I take, this next thing that I do, it could be my, I mean, this could ser- you know, and I don't want to bring like a downer here, but I mean, this could be my last time on the radio. I mean, I don't know that. And you don't know that. Mm-hmm. And only God Almighty knows that in his larger, bigger, sovereign plan. But then there's an urgency to the gospel because those people who don't know Jesus, I mean, today might be that day, and they need to know who that is, because it's not just that today hangs in the balance, but eternity hangs in the balance. And so for me, it was just a reminder that the mission that Jesus has given me to share the gospel, the mission that Jesus has given me. I had a sermon all prepared for Sunday morning as we're going through Philippians. You know, I just felt God like, no way, you got to talk about the gospel. You've got to give the gospel. You've got to share the urgency of the gospel. And I'm like, but Lord, you know, it takes like 15 hours to write a sermon. You mean you just want me to throw that away? Because it's not like I can use it again. I mean, we're expositionally going through Philippians. And the Lord's like, no, you got to give the gospel. I want to share just a caveat, though, before I kind of go into a thought that I have. The people said that the folks who are journeying with, you know, they lost their nephew. They said that at the funeral service, that the family said, you know, we don't want it to be about grieving. We want it to be about the power of Jesus. So I guess during the funeral, the pastor who's given the funeral up in Chicago said, you know, I want everybody to bow their heads, and if anybody wants right now to accept Jesus in their heart, raise your hand. And they said that, you know, they said that they all had their heads down, and my friend who's in the church, who he said he was sitting up with the family, you know, up towards the front, so he couldn't see back, and he obviously had his eyes closed and his head down. But he said, you know, the pastor's like, there's one, there's one, there's one. You know, and he kind of said some of that, and then there was a, he said, okay, now open your eyes, and then he kind of gave the gospel again, more of maybe a succinct, and then he prayed, and he said, now if you have accepted Jesus, stand up. And there were 100+ people who stood up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this urgency of the gospel that was given through this something that seems incredibly tragic. I mean, and it is tragic. I mean, suicide is like the big, huge question, why question up in the air. I mean, you can't answer it. If I have a relative and something happens, a car crash, I can go, well, it's a car crash. If it's a murder, as senseless as that is, we can go, well, it's a murder. And we understand what box we should put that in. But suicide leaves us with a big, huge why. We don't know where to put it. And we don't ever get an answer. I know people who had suicide in their family from 30 years ago, and today they're still standing there with the big, huge why question going, why? How? Help me to understand. You'll never understand. Mm-hmm. But 100 people out of that why, 100 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And one of the families I was told was people who had been ministered to, they've been given the gospel a number of times, they've been resilient to the gospel, and they're like 90-year-old parents of one of the cousins. And the cousins are like on them going, look, we've got to keep giving you the gospel because you're going to die soon. I mean, it's just given. You're elderly. And they stood up. They accepted Jesus. So I'm like, you know, just how amazing that is. And then late Sunday night. So I'm like, God, I don't know, 15 hours worth of work on this sermon. I mean, I hate to throw it away. You really, and God's like, yeah, you got to do it. And I'm like, okay, well, you're in charge. You know, I keep saying you're sovereign. So went through, and I mean, I just gave the gospel through Leviticus, through Genesis, and then back into Hebrews, gave the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus crawled up on the altar for us so that we would not have to, that Jesus, once and for all, Hebrews 10, made the sacrifice for us so that we might not have to sacrifice again. Late Sunday night, I got an email from somebody saying, I want to be baptized. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to make this. So I'm going, it's 100+. I mean, how many times will this story, this tragic story, be told? And people, because of the renewed urgency and sense of the gospel, will engage it and share it, and they will bring people to Christ. I mean, this suicide, mm-hmm. You know, as many times as we tell it, this has the potential to bring a multitude to Christ. Thousands, who knows, for eternity. I mean, eternity. I'm just like, wow.
How only God can take something that tragic and turn it into a blessing in a sense. I mean, it's amazing. And the story and that sense of urgency that you're feeling is very similar to the story that many of our listeners are familiar with D.L. Moody. When he shared and he gave his message, he was proclaiming God's good news message. But yet he didn't do an altar call. And I think it was during a Sunday service. He didn't do an altar call. And the Great Chicago Fire, I think, happened.
Yeah.
Or happened that day or that next day or something. And he said, from this point forward, I will always end my message with some type of altar call, giving people the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to make sure that he, somewhere in that message, will proclaim clearly the gospel message, that it's only through the shed blood of Jesus, it's only through our accepting him, our receiving him as that free gift, that gift that we can't earn, that we can't buy our way into heaven, we can't just be a good person to get into heaven. It's not because we tithe or have good church attendance. It's only because of us accepting the work that God did on our behalf by providing that unblemished lamb, that perfect sacrifice for us, and then us literally receiving him, asking Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, asking him to come into our heart to change us, recognizing that we're sinners, that we're fallen, that we can't make the mark, we can't meet the expectations of perfection to get into heaven.
We don't have a pulpit, but I have kind of just a music stand, I guess, is where I preach from. And I have a piece of paper that's on there. It has a quote from Martin Luther, which is very much like D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody said something that was very similar. But up there I have a quote that sits there all the time that says, preach as though Christ was born this morning. He lived today, and he'll die before you finish preaching this sermon. You know, and just this sense of urgency that these words that I give you could be the – I mean, I could be like, and now let's bow our heads, and all of a sudden the clouds part and Jesus comes down. I mean, he's got the sword in his mouth and he's ready to go, and it's game time. You know, we should have as pastors – and not just – and when I say pastors, how about this? We as preachers, proclaimers of the word, which then I kind of throw a blanket over every single person who's listening to this who's accepted Jesus into their heart, because Jesus tells you to preach the word. And what he's really saying is just proclaim, tell the gospel, the good news of me.
Which is all of us.
Oh, that's every single one of us. Like I said, throw a blanket over every single one of us. We're all in the same boat. And we're all called to do that. We're all called to have this sense of urgency. I mean, are there people in your family or people in your relational sphere? I mean, how many people do you love who don't know Jesus? And you're kind of like, well, you know, I mean, because I love them, I want to just kind of – I want to respect them, and I don't really want to push my beliefs on them. Really. So because you don't want to be uncomfortable in this moment – of kind of saying, hey, you know what? I mean, I just want to talk to you for a minute. And because I'm a Christian and because I have the sense of urgency of the gospel, I mean, we have to do this thing. I have a friend who's a pastor, and he was telling me, and it blows my mind because I'm not like this. This is not the kind of person I am. But he says that whenever he meets somebody, he just right away, he says, hey, you know I'm a pastor. You know the thing I'm going to do. So do you want to do it now? Do you want to have dinner? What do you want to do? And he says that when he meets people, he tells them this like in the first 10 minutes of the meeting. He's like, when do you want to do it? Because I'm going to do it. I have to do it. And I'm like, that's the urgency of the gospel in action. When are we going to do it? Because I have to do it. I don't have to do it because I'm being forced to do it. I don't have to do it because, you know, God's kind of like, I'm going to blot you out if you don't do this. I have to do it because I want to see you for eternity. Mm-hmm. This life, I mean, most of us are going to live on a good clip, 100 years. Okay, on a good clip. There's some who are living slightly past 100 years, but on a good clip, we're going to live 100 years. 100 years in light of eternity is nothing. I think I saw a pastor one time, he did a illustration, and he had a 20-foot length of rope, and he colored the very tip end of the rope red. I mean, you could barely see it unless he turned the end of the rope towards you. And he goes, this red, that's your life. That's the totality of your life. And he threw the rope out, and he goes, and this is eternity. Mm-hmm. And he goes, do you really see how much eternity matters? And it ought to matter to us.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the key, like you mentioned, is we sometimes don't want to feel rejected, or we just feel inept or inadequate, or we don't know how to share. And it's really as easy as just saying, like Steve Brown always says, I'm a beggar that found some bread, and I just want to share why this is meaningful. And one of the unique things about having this concept of Mark and Friends and having these various people on sharing their testimony, nobody can argue with your testimony. I mean, they can maybe discount it or reject it, but this is my story. This is what Jesus did for me. This is why I follow him. This is the way that I connected with God. Jason, I don't want to pass by this opportunity because we have a lot of people that scan our dial, people that are searching, people that have maybe forsaken the Lord for a number of years. They know that there's a God, but they may be far from Jesus. What would you say, in maybe just our closing couple minutes, how a person could connect with God, no matter what their background experience is, no matter how many times they've failed God, no matter what they've done, what they've said, who they've hurt, how they've botched up life? What would you say about them connecting with God who cares and loves them?
You know, it says in Leviticus chapter 1, it says, and then the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites. And I want to go back to this because I want to always stress to people the importance of the whole Word of God, that none of it is past, it's gone, it's old, it's nothing. I hate the word, so I think you touched on it maybe yesterday when we talked about the word Old and New Testament. It's all the same. It's all a story about the revelation of Jesus Christ coming into our lives for us to change the trajectory of human history. And so in Leviticus chapter 1, it says the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, when you bring an offering to the Lord. And notice it doesn't say if you bring an offering. It says when you bring an offering. Because from God's perspective, you will at some point realize that there is a God of the universe who has his fingerprints all over you. He's the potter and you are the clay. And it says when you bring an offering. And the Hebrew behind that, when you bring an offering, it says it really means succinctly when you draw near. So when you draw near to God. And when you draw near to God, what are you doing? You're coming into the peace of God. I mean, scan the scriptures, look through the scriptures. It's the peace of God. Now, how many of you out there need some peace? How many of you out there are struggling through something, are suffering through something, and you're going, man, if I could just have a moment of peace. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible and life, because the Bible is all about life, doesn't know a life where there is no noise, doesn't know a life where there is no chaos, doesn't know a life where there is no things happening. Peace doesn't mean that the world stands still and everything stops and suddenly you're like, ah, oh, that doesn't exist, so get rid of that. The peace of God means that you can stand in the midst of the storm, stand in the midst of the storm, and you can say, it's okay. It's going to be all right. And I don't know anything in this world that can offer you that except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I think about when disciples were in the boat and Jesus was coming across the water and Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, well, come on. And Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to go to Jesus and he says, and he saw the wind and the waves. I would venture to say that a fair amount of you out there are experiencing some wind and some waves right now. And it says, as he saw the winds and the waves, he began to sink. And he said, Lord, help me. And Jesus said, he reached out his hand. And he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And today, many of you are doubting Jesus. And he's standing there with his hand out, ready to grab you, ready to pull you from the winds and the waves, ready to offer you peace. And I don't know anybody who doesn't need that. I don't know anybody who doesn't need that today.
And I'm thinking the name we have for Jesus is Prince of Peace. Draw near to God today, and He'll draw near to you. He will answer your prayers. He will meet you at your deepest need. He is a loving, sovereign God. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Ask Almighty God through the Holy Spirit to reveal this truth that Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the Savior of the world. And I will say, Jason, that's the first time ever I've asked somebody to share about leading someone to the Lord or accepting Jesus, and they reference Leviticus. Thanks for sharing.
You bet.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.